So a while back, I stumbled across a National Geographic magazine entitled this, Memory: Why We Remember and Why We Forget. Now, immediately I was intrigued by such a title because I thought within this article is the clear answer to why we remember some things and forget others. I thought to myself, maybe they've done it. They have finally figured out how memory works, and now we are on our way to getting rid of that pesky characteristic of every human being, and that is forgetfulness. All of us forget things that we wish we did not forget. Unfortunately, when I got done reading the article, my hopes were dashed. In it, I found no clear answer as to why some people remember some things and others do not. There was no method to achieving what I wanted, an ultimate mental hard drive. No, it contained no cure for a disease that ravages the memory like Alzheimer's. By and large, the article simply concluded that the human memory remains a mystery. Why some people are good at memorizing something and others are not, it remains an enigma. You know how it is, right? The memory in your past that you want to forget, that bad event, becomes seared into your mind, and you remember every part of it to every detail. And yet, those things you want to forget, excuse me, the things you want to remember, the names, dates, times, locations, that sort of information, we forget all too easily. The memory remains a mystery. I did get this important piece of information from the article. One researcher has even calculated that people squander more than a month of time every year just compensating for things they've forgotten. Astounding, isn't it? Zechariah, a priest, he had apparently forgotten some things. He had forgotten some of the characteristics of his great Lord and his great God, one of them being that when God says he is going to do something, friends, he is going to do it. The word of God accomplishes what he sets it out to do. Now, recall the reason why Zechariah was mute and had to communicate with a tablet is because he had doubted the word of God. Gabriel had appeared to him and had told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth, they were going to conceive and bear a child, not just any child, but a prophet filled with the Holy Spirit, a prophet who would go in the spirit and power of the great prophet Elijah. And when Zechariah heard this message, he didn't respond as you would expect a priest of God to respond. His response wasn't one of boldness and faithfulness, but this is what Zechariah says. "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And maybe Zechariah was having a bad day. Maybe he was simply just going through the motions, doing his priestly duties, then all of a sudden Gabriel appeared. After all, it's not every day that a messenger from Yahweh shows up and gives you a world-changing message. Nevertheless, the consequence for Zechariah and his incredulous, doubtful attitude is that he is stricken by God to be a mute. He's silent until, that is, we get to today's gospel reading. The moment Zechariah takes that tablet and he writes the name John, his mouth is opened, his tongue is loosened. And what does he do? He begins blessing God. Out of his mouth comes what we see in our liturgy, Benedictus. And the Benedictus begins with these words, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." And then if you get about halfway down in the Benedictus, we see and hear God remembering his holy oath, his holy covenant that he made to his servant Abraham. A covenant in which God promised to make Abraham a father of many nations. We forget things all the time. And the rumor is it doesn't get better the older you get. Zechariah was not immune to the sinful effects of age, but he had forgotten. He had forgotten about God's ability to bring his word to fulfillment without the aid of man. Yes, Zechariah was old. Yes, Elizabeth was old. But by God's holy word, they would conceive and bear a child. The good news is, despite our absent-mindedness, despite our forgetfulness, brothers and sisters, God doesn't forget. God remembers his word. God remembers his promises. Bear in mind that when Gabriel appears to Zechariah to give him a message of God, this was in the first century. It had been well over 1,000 years before when God gave his covenant, made his covenant with his servant Abraham. A lot had happened since then. We heard from Acts, Israel. By the time the first century rolls around, Israel has a turbulent history under her belt. Brought up out of Egypt, she wandered the desert for 40 years. Eventually, she makes it into the promised land, only to have that land ripped away from her as she is brought into exile by foreign powers due to her unrepentant and idolatrous heart. But then the Lord restores them back to their land. And then here we are in the first century where Israel is existing under Roman rule, waiting for redemption, waiting for deliverance. But throughout that time, throughout that turbulent history, friends, God never forgot what he said to Abraham. He never forgot the promise to make Abraham into a father of many nations, and that would come by preserving and redeeming the people of Israel. It would be from the bloodline of Israel, or even more specifically, from the line of Judah, one of the sons of Jacob, that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come. But not before God would raise up a great prophet. And that brings us to the main character in the Benedictus, John the Baptist. John the Baptist would grow to be every bit the faithful prophet that God said he would be. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit. He would go in the spirit and power of the great Elijah. And John had a specific message to give to the people. This is what John was to give to the people. And we see this in verse 77 in the Benedictus. John was to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's the proclamation, friends, that John was to give to the people. Notice, John was not sent to tell the people, pull up your bootstraps, work harder, try a little more, and then you might get what you are after. John was not sent to expound upon the law of Moses and give more laws to an already burdened people. John was sent to give knowledge, and not just any knowledge, a knowledge of salvation. A knowledge of salvation for the people and the forgiveness of sins. Friends, we need this knowledge. Everyone needs this knowledge. Why? Because we sit in darkness. We sit in the shadow of death, as we find in the Benedictus. Now notice, when you're in the shadow of something, of an object, when you're in the shadow of an object, that means you are close to the object causing the shadow. And our Lord here is not specifying a particular group of people. He is not saying only the sick or only those on the verge of death are in the shadow of death. No, all men sit in the shadow of death. All men need that light that shines in the darkness. Everyone needs the knowledge of salvation for the forgiveness of sins proclaimed by John the Baptist. Why? It is precisely because of the sinful condition that plagues all of humanity, that we sit in the shadow of death. And because the Christian even still wrestles, because the Christian is still in a tussle with the sickness of sin, never think, never be so bold as to presume death cannot reach you, either physically or spiritually. Especially you young ones out there. Never think time is on your side. You never know when your soul will be required of you, like it was in the rich man in Jesus' parable in Luke, who had all the treasures in the world, had the big barns, the big storehouses, and he thought he was content and he could be happy and get on to religious matters later. And yet, his soul was required of him before he was ready. Our memory, talking about memories once again, it does get worse with time. Why? Because the flesh wears. We age. Or as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, this is what the apostle says, the outer nature is wasting away. Wasting away. That's what the flesh does. As you all know, as I know, as the young people will know one day, the flesh does not remain in peak physical condition forever. Or we can put it this way. Because of sin, because of the sinful condition that we all are plagued with, our minds, bodies, our flesh, friends, it's like a flower. Flowers are pretty one moment, but they wither and they die the next. Darkness is another word we find in the Benedictus. When you are in darkness, you cannot see where you are going. Darkness blinds the eyes, and therefore you need a light to guide you out of the darkness. You might like to think from time to time that maybe you did find heaven on your own. Or perhaps you are tempted to look down on a spirit of pride and mock and scoff at the unbeliever because you have Jesus. They don't. You know the way to salvation. The unbeliever doesn't. You're the good Christian. You're unlike the silly pagan next door who does not know Jesus Christ, and they will get what is coming to them. Friends, indeed rejoice in the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. But never think that it is by your own flesh and your own power and ability that you found Jesus. Never be so bold to presume that the way to salvation is something that you found on your own, by your own abilities, by your own strength, unlike the pagan next door. John the Baptist was sent to preach to the people because they sat in darkness. They sat in the shadow of death. And he would lead and guide them, you know how? By proclaiming the word of God. He proclaimed the message of God, and through that word, the Holy Spirit went and worked among the people. The Holy Spirit continues to lead and guide people today. Remember what it says in the Catechism. The Holy Spirit has called you through the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the one true faith in Jesus Christ, God's work, thankfully, not ours. It is God who leads people and brings people out of darkness. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who rescues and delivers people from the shadow of death. Friends, out of his grace, compassion, out of his mercy. It is his free gift, yours in Christ. Fantastic news. John would do his work. John will grow and be every bit the prophet that he was said to be. He will lead and guide the people out of the shadow of death by proclaiming the message that he was sent to proclaim. And you know what John didn't do throughout all of this? As John was preaching and teaching, John did what every good preacher should do, and that is point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. Get the people's gaze on the cross of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was not in this for personal gain and glory. He makes it very clear. He is not the light of the world, but he pointed to the way, the truth, the light, and that is Jesus Christ. Through the person and work of Jesus. The covenant with Abraham, friends, that God made so long ago, would find its fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus. A child of Abraham, friends, is not one by lineage. You are not a child of Abraham because you have some Jewish blood in you. I would be out of luck. The child of Abraham is not the one who works the hardest, but the child of Abraham is the one who, by faith, clings to our crucified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last point. Because of this great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have, because of the Savior that John pointed to in his preaching and in his teaching, because of the work of Jesus, here it is, there is something that God does not remember. There is. The pastor, you just said he remembers his covenants, he remembers his promises, he made this whole point about how God remembers. There is something God does not remember on account of Jesus Christ and his work at the cross. From the word of our Lord, this is what he says. This is from Isaiah. Quote, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins, thus says the Lord. Because of your Savior Jesus, who took your sins upon his body, and he went to the cross and he shed his blood to pay for every one of your sins are not called to the mind of the great and almighty God. Your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west. That is God's promise to you in Christ. Your sins cannot, will not condemn you. This is great news, because that means when your memory is working too good and you are calling to mind and remembering all of those horrible sins in your past and events, as the devil brings to your mind the horrible events and sins of your past, friends, you can hear the word of God who says, for the sake of Jesus Christ, he remembers your sins no more. When your flesh is wearing out and you can feel the pain of your body, when you can feel the pain of your sins, when you feel as if you are in that shadow of death, remember what you have by being a baptized child of God. In Christ, you have God's declaration that you are his child. You are holy. You are forgiven. You are an heir to his everlasting kingdom. You have knowledge, a knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of sins, and that is yours on account of your most high God, your Savior Jesus Christ. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.